Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be the kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, increase in us the gifts of faith, hope, and charity, and that we may obtain what you promise, make us love what you command. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Jeremiah. Although our iniquities testify against us, act, O Lord, for your name's sake. Our apostasies indeed are many, and we have sinned against you. O hope of Israel, its Savior in time of trouble, why should you be like a stranger in the land, like a traveler turning aside for the night? Why should you be like someone confused, like a mighty warrior who cannot give help? Yet you, O Lord, are in the midst of us, and we are called by your name. Do not forsake us. Thus says the Lord concerning his people. Truly, they have loved to wander. They have not restrained their feet. Therefore, the Lord does not accept them. Now he will remember their iniquity and punish their sins. Have you completely rejected Judah? Does your heart loathe Zion? Why have you struck us down so that there is no healing for us? We look for peace but find no good, for a time of healing, but there is terror instead. We acknowledge our wickedness, O Lord, the iniquity of our ancestors, for we have sinned against you. Do not spurn us for your name's sake. Do not dishonor your glorious throne. Remember and do not break your covenant with us. Can any idols of the nations bring rain? Or can the heavens give showers? Is it not you, O Lord our God? We set our hope on you, for it is you who do all this. the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the second letter of Paul to Timothy. As for me, I am already be poured out as a libation, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. From now on there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not only for me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and save me for his heavenly kingdom. To him the glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Love of God, every Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, and even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
This morning's gospel lesson from Luke is one of the most familiar stories in the Bible. It's the story of a Pharisee and a tax collector. I'm sure you know it well. The two men are in the temple saying their prayers. The Pharisee, one of the religious leaders, prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. And the tax collector, a despised vocation in cahoots with Rome, won't even look up to heaven. But he beats his chest and says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus tells his listeners that the tax collector goes home justified. That is, he is made right with God. Luke says that Jesus told the story to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Who trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and regarded others with contempt. Do we know anyone who regards other people with contempt? Be careful about your answer. Here are some things that we might learn from Jesus this morning. He uses the Pharisees as examples of what not to do. Now, the Pharisees have come down through the centuries with really bad press. The New Testament puts lepers and Pharisees in about the same category. Both were regarded as unclean by the New Testament writers, one physically, the other spiritually. Actually, I suppose the lepers come off better than the Pharisees. After all, they couldn't help being afflicted with their terrible disease, and our Lord did cure some lepers. He apparently had less success with the Pharisees. Many of the most dire pronouncements, the harshest judgments, are against this group. Pharisees were often the target of Jesus' criticism. And of course, they retaliated by engineering his execution. So, given all that, we have a pretty hard time seeing them in any positive light. But the historian Josephus records that they were caring to one another, that they normally had good relationships with their neighbors, that they were the epitome of good religious folk. That is, they kept the commandments, they worshiped on the Sabbath, they believed in resurrection, in contrast to the Sadducees, the other big party of that time. They believed in resurrection, in angels, and in the Messiah. So they kept the faith. They were devout, intelligent, progressive. They were good people. They possessed the qualities a lot of us would like to have or claim to have. So why the odor surrounding their name? Simply this: Jesus saw through them. Jesus saw through them. He saw in them a legalism which smothered persons. He saw in them a pride which insulted God. He saw in them an hypocrisy which offended both God and people. You see, they were very concerned about ceremonial correctness while being unconcerned with people. And for Jesus, that was sinful. They also had a tendency to call attention to themselves and their goodness, a tendency to put themselves forth as examples of good people. And all of these things were repulsive to Jesus. Now, you and I know that it's quite possible to read the Bible in several different ways from varying viewpoints. One way to read the Bible is to see it as a kind of textbook from which we learn about life as it was back then. And if we read it that way, then the Pharisees are an interesting, misdirected religious party of the first century. But another way of reading the Bible is to see it as a vehicle through which the Word of God speaks to us today, in which we find our own stories writ large. And if we read of the Pharisees that way, we not only can find out what the Pharisees believed, what they taught, what they did, we might even discover what one looks like by looking in the mirror. And perhaps this is why this portion of Scripture is disturbing to me personally. It's a mirror reflecting our own blemishes, our own shortcomings, our own sins. Earlier, I asked if we knew anyone who regarded others with contempt. Of course not, we answer. Be careful. Jesus told this story also to those who trusted in themselves. Ah, there's the rub. Don't we have a tendency to trust in ourselves, that we are righteous? You see, the Pharisee trusts in himself. The tax collector, on the other hand, knows he has no claim to righteousness. So he throws himself on the mercy of God. And that's the essential difference. One makes a claim to righteousness based on his own accomplishments, while the other relies entirely on God's mercy. In the adult class, we often discuss differences between our viewpoints of the world and religions and Episcopalians. Inevitably, we will get into that discussion. I encourage you to come if you want to have a good time. But sometimes we see other viewpoints, especially those of more evangelical, theologically conservative churches and groups. While no one would say that others are viewed with contempt, we must always be aware of the danger of categorizing them as other, as different. And as soon as you and I fall prey to the temptation to divide humanity into any kind of groups, anytime we draw a line between who's in and who's out, we have aligned ourselves squarely with the Pharisees. Now, the good news of this parable, the good news is that the role of the tax collector is available to all of us. We, everyone here this morning, are all sinners. And all are the beloved children of the gracious Father. This parable invites us to experience the freedom of not trusting in ourselves and not judging others, but throwing ourselves on the mercy of God. Amen.
Will you please stand with me and profess your faith by reciting the Nicene Creed found on page 10 in your bulletin. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternal begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy. For the Holy Church of God, that it may be filled with truth and love and be found without fault at the day of your coming, we pray to you, O Lord. Lord, have mercy. For Michael, our presiding bishop, for George, our own bishop, for all bishops and other ministers, for all the holy people of God, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who fear God and believe in you, Lord Christ, that our divisions may cease and that all may be one as you and the Father are one, we pray to you, O Lord. For the mission of the church, that in faithful witness it may preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
for the peace of the world, that a spirit of respect and forbearance may grow among nations and peoples. We pray to you, O Lord. For those in positions of public trust, especially Barack, our president, Bill and Nathan, our governors, that they may serve justice and promote the dignity and freedom of every person, we pray to you, O Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the poor, the persecuted, the sick, and all who suffer, for refugees, prisoners, and all who are in danger, that they may be relieved and protected, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this congregation, for those who are present and for those who are absent, that they may be delivered from hardness of heart and show forth your glory in all that we do, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those on our prayer list, Margaret,
Jean,
Steve, Nicole,
J.R.,
Blair,
Michelle,
John,
Kevin,
Paul,
Marie,
Chuck,
Jimmy,
Martha,
Renee,
Russell,
Jane,
Ryan,
Dave,
Richard,
Wendell,
Lynn,
Jeff,
Regina,
Irene,
Mary,
Jim,
Michael,
Joe,
Margaret,
Laura,
Taylor,
Dwayne,
Shay,
Margaret,
Dawn,
Ed,
Doug,
Cecilia,
Ed,
Pat,
Harry,
Alberta,
Joycey,
Whitney,
Tom,
Zach,
Allison,
Jim and Jeff,
Jody,
Chad,
Elena,
Angela,
Nancy,
Jerry,
and for all who have committed themselves to our prayers, for our families and friends and neighbors, that being freed from anxiety, they may live in joy and peace and health, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who have died in the communion of your church and those whose faith is known to you alone, that with all the saints they may have rest in that place where there is no pain or grief, but life eternal, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Are there other intercessions?
Wendell.
Let us pray. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father.
In your compassion,
forgive us our sins,
knowing and unknown,
things done and left undone.
And so uphold us by your Spirit,
that we may live and serve you in newness of life,
to the honor and glory of your name,
through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Thank you. happening. From time to time, members of our vestry will speak to the congregation on what's happening with the vestry so that we can keep the lines of communication open. And today we're pleased to have speaking to us Sally Sieg, who is the clerk of the vestry. Sally?
Well, for those of you who don't know me, I am Sally Sieg, the mouth, and I'm here as the clerk of the vestry. I'll be going off the vestry this year, but I'm still trying to do some good. Your vestry this past year has been trying to establish a more open relationship with all of you. The minutes of each meeting, if you're lucky, are posted outside Martha's office. How many of you read any of them? Let me see your hands. How many have read the minutes? Blair. Okay. Thanks, bud. The minutes for October are already up on the board, and I'm sure everybody will stampede out there to read them. But let's not have any violence, you know, and pushing and shoving. It's not Black Friday. So just go see what we did at the meeting last time. Some of us from the vestry attended a meeting in Knoxville earlier this year, and we learned that the neighborhood is not what we can see from out this front door. It's everybody that we see every day, at work and at the gym and at the grocery store, at the park, the doctor's office, anywhere we go where we see people who are not members here. Do they see God in us, or do they see, you know, just another person? Do you go out of your way to invite people to St. Van? How many of you have done that? Most of you know our own Jane Wallen, who died last year, left the bulk of her estate to St. Thaddeus. After consideration, prayerfully, the vestry has been able to make many repairs to the building, which were very needed. And we have more coming up in the future. And at the same time, the vestry voted to take 10% of this bequest and put it aside as the Jane Wallen outreach project. Because of this, we've been able to do a lot of help for other people. How many have seen this posted around the building? This is what we're doing now. But we have done other things with part of this bequest. We've given to the room in the inn. We gave an additional donation to the community kitchen in memory and honor of Brother Ron Fender. We've taken on a new one, Volunteers in Medicine, which is a place for people who don't have insurance, and it's run voluntarily by all physicians and nurses. Not all of them, but you know. Socks for the Homeless, which is another project of the community kitchen, and the Shambliss Home. We took a whole bunch of stuff to the Shambliss Home. And it's not the money we give, it's the caring for those who are less fortunate than we are. And what do we have here at St. Thaddeus? We have angels who come and do their work that others might think it just happens. Those who show up to trim the yard, those who mow, those come to clean the gutters out without being asked. Those like Deb who come to clean the ovens when others make messes. Those who come and straighten up the place. And those who set the table for the Eucharist twice a week. And then those who come to clean up after Eucharist. Those who do the flowers every week. And it just goes on and on and on. But the list is not closed. There are plenty of places that y'all could fill in if you just think about it and give some help. Just contact any member of the vestry and we will put your name wherever you would like to have it. Which brings me to the suggestion box, which is sitting out there on the table, lonely and empty. This box is for you. You're supposed to put comments in there, good and bad. If you like something, put it in there. The vestry wants to know. And if something's going on, although I can't imagine what, that you don't like, we want to hear about that too. Just let us know. And by the way, all vestry meetings are open. That means any of y'all can come to a meeting and sit and see how much fun we have while we're making all these decisions for the church and for the money and what we can do for others. A new vestry will be elected in November. And if you want to put your name in to be a part of this group, please let one of the vestry people know. And surely you can give 2 hours, one night a month, for 1 year. You're only elected for 1 year. You can do that to serve your church and to God. We are your vestry, and we do want to hear from you. And thank you.
Thank you, Sally. It is a delight to serve with her on the vestry. You never know what's going to happen. I want to say thank you to all who came to the work day yesterday. We had a number of people show up, and where's James? James Short. He is our junior warden, and he organized it and does a great job. Thank you very much, Jim. One of the outreach ministries that Sally mentioned is a new one to us. And I don't know the technical name, but it has to do with socks. And Jeannie, would you talk about that for a moment?
Last week, if you weren't here, we had the director of the community kitchen here. And I asked him afterwards what his most desperate need was. And he said socks for the homeless. They have to have nice, warm socks for them and to be able to change when their feet are wet. So we're starting a sock drive. He said two socks are wonderful. And if we could donate, I would appreciate it tremendously. And I talked to him this week, and he said, you must have known I like coffee cups. I said, well, I gave you one last Sunday. He said, I would collect them, and I have them on my, I have yours on my desk right now. So he is a very, very nice person, and I would like to give him as much as we can of the socks for his wives.
Thank you, Jeannie. And there is a plastic basket out there with the word socks on it. So start bringing them, and we'll get them to them within two or three weeks should do it. Okay. Reminder that an abbreviated inquirers class is going to start next Sunday at 9 o'clock. This is for those of you who seek to make the Episcopal Church your home officially. The bishop will be here at the end of November. And we had a formal inquirers class almost a year ago, and this is just a brush up. So if you would like to come and meet with me in the library, we'll have breakfast with the adult class and then go in there for an opportunity for learning more and asking questions about the Christian faith as it's taught and practiced by the Episcopal Church. Next Sunday, we will observe St. Thaddeus Day. Next Sunday. Some people came ready to observe it today. So wear red, and we'll have a little bit bigger spread for the refreshment hour, and we'll celebrate our life together. Are there any other announcements? Ascribe unto the Lord the honor due his name, bring offerings, and come into his courts.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, for you are the source of light and life. You made us in your image and called us to new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you, in your mercy, sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
the gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died and rose for you. Feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon you this day and remain with you always. Amen.
Be to God.
Hallelujah.